This week on Blue 58, the Packers are already making waves in free agency, and free agency hasn't even officially begun. Is Muhammad Wilkerson worth considering, and why? And if it comes down to it, should the Packers take an edge rusher or a cornerback in this spring's draft? Then we'll take stock of the Brian Gutekunst era so far.
Blue 58!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue 58, the one and only podcast of thepowersweep.com. I am your fearless host, John Meerdink. Excited to be with you here for episode number 72. And what a special episode it is. We actually get to talk about some real actual things that are happening. Let's dive right in. Some fortuitous timing for us this week. Gary and I, behind the curtain, were working on a piece. Well, Gary mostly was working on a piece about Muhammad Wilkerson. The Packers have been rumored to be a landing spot for Wilkerson for a while now, even before there were rumors about him being cut, even before he was actually cut. And we decided we would run the piece on Muhammad Wilkerson on Monday. Wouldn't you know it, the rumor comes out that not only is Muhammad Wilkerson a target for the Packers, he's interested in coming to Green Bay, and as we've since learned, he is in fact coming today, or to Green Bay today, the day that you are listening to this podcast, if you are listening to it on release day. So let's talk a little bit about Muhammad Wilkerson. What do we know about him? Well, he's been a real big-time player for the New York Jets for quite some time. He's also been slowing down a little bit for quite some time. He has a long history with Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator for most of Wilkerson's time in New York, including his best season in 2012. And now he is a free agent as a result of his declining play, his high price tag, and some questionable moves during his time with the New York Jets. Not a model player. He does get into some trouble off the field. Not trouble. He is a bit of a headache off the field. Quoting from Gary's piece, quote, Wilkerson was released by the Jets thanks to a contract that would have made him the fourth highest paid defensive player in the league in 2018. While a productive player on the field, the 28-year-old had a habit of being late for meetings and was suspended for a quarter in one game and an entire game in December. A bit of a problem. And I think while that is a headache for the Jets, obviously, and potentially for the Packers, you do need to stop and take a little bit of stock of that. The Jets have been a dumpster fire for quite some time, even for the bulk of the time when Wilkerson was really a high-end player. And I think there is a little bit of the feeling of being stuck in a dead-end job for Wilkerson for his time with the Jets. And I've been in jobs where you can see that things aren't going anywhere, and I can tell you from experience that it doesn't really matter how much you're getting paid if you don't see that job going anywhere and you don't see anything changing. Sure, it may not be great to have a bad attitude about your job, but I think it's at least understandable. And it's quite possible that a change of scenery could be just what Muhammad Wilkerson needs. You know, that is a problem, or that is a cliche, and it's a cliche for a reason. It gets brought up every time there's a quote-unquote troubled player who is looking to switch teams or is in a position where he's going to be switching teams. But I think there is a nugget of truth in there. So I think Wilkerson is worth considering at least for that reason alone. Then when you just look at what he's done in the past, he's been a consistent pass rusher from a variety of spots along the defensive line, big, strong player, still only 28, and having been released, there's a good chance that he's not going to be all that expensive. Now, what all that expensive actually means, again, is going to be a serious consideration for the Packers because they don't have all that much cap room, just over $15 million before they do anything with Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, or Clay Matthews. And I'm sure something is going to get done with one or all of those guys at some point. But the price is going to be a consideration, and it's probably the main sticking point for the Packers. But we should also point out that, yes, of course, price is a major consideration with every free agent. No duh. If you're the analyst who's out there tweeting out, quote tweeting Ian Rappaport when he breaks a story like this and saying, well, at the right price, he might be a fit for Green Bay. No kidding, dude. Obviously, every free agent would be a great fit for every team at the right price. Breaking news, teams like to get good players. You're not smart for pointing that out. Same goes for the guy who's like, player X plus donable defensive coordinator. Wow, that's a great matchup. Somebody's going to do that if the Packers sign Mike Pettine, or Packers sign Muhammad Wilkerson because of his connection to Mike Pettine. Again, not super great analysis there. The only real worth connection, real thing worth pointing out if a player has a connection to a defensive coordinator is their history together as it pertains to player acquisition. And I think that's what you have to point out as far as Wilkerson and Green Bay. So all that to say, yes, price a big consideration, but beyond that, I think he's a good fit for the Packers as a free agent signing. Again, assuming the price is right and all that. The Packers should explore this. It's worth exploring. They should do it, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. In fact, it's possible by the time you're listening to this that the Packers could have signed Muhammad Wilkerson. That'd be pretty cool. We do need to address another topic here related to the Wilkerson signing, though. That's the idea of being set at a position. People have argued on Twitter, via other Packers sites, even some of the big-time Packers sites, like PackersNews.com, things along the lines of the Packers maybe shouldn't pursue a guy like this because they're as good as set on the defensive line. You are never set at a position in the NFL. And assuming that you're set as a position, at a position is a good way to become non-competitive in the NFL really quickly. Your goal as an NFL front office should always be to acquire the best players you can at each and every position. The idea that the Packers are set on the defensive line comes from a couple things. First, they've got Mike Daniels, they've got Kenny Clark, and that's as good of a top two lineman as I think you're going to find in the vast majority of teams in the league, and that is true. But the Packers also have Dean Lowry, they also have Montrevious Adams, and by then you're getting pretty far down the depth chart that are going to get serious playing time. So you look at that group and you say, well, the Packers got a pretty good group. Why do we need to spend resources here? The fact of the matter is you should never turn down an opportunity to get better, even at positions where you're already very strong, because that just helps you make a strength and into an even bigger strength. It's not like you can ever stop getting better at a position. Let's look at a few positions on the Packers roster. In fact, let's look at every position at the Packers roster. Even their ones where they're strong, they could always get better. Quarterback, we saw what happens when you don't have a solid backup quarterback. Your season can go down the drain really fast. They can get better there. Running back, sure, they drafted three guys last year, but at one point, all three of those guys were hurt last year. I think you can get better there. And if you have an opportunity to add some top-end talent, you probably should. Fullback, okay, maybe they're set at fullback. Who cares? Tight end. Obviously, they can get better at tight end, maybe through free agency, maybe through the draft. They need more quality tight ends. I don't think anybody would be happy with the tight end group they have right now. Wide receiver, I don't think you get any argument from anyone there. In fact, most people online seem to want to cut most of the Packers wide receivers right now. Clearly, you can add talent there. The offensive line, they have needs there. Even the positions where they're pretty much set, left tackle, left guard, center, they can get depth at those positions. You can get better in those position groups. Defensive line, we've already talked about that. Edge rusher, I think there's an obvious need there. Inside linebacker, you need some more athleticism there. You can get better there. As good as Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan were last season, there is an opportunity to take another step there. Cornerback, obviously. Safety, yeah, you could use some better safety play. I think it's pretty obvious that at every position, there's always an opportunity to add more talent. Even look at back at past years where you thought the Packers are for sure stocked at one particular position. I think back to the 2016 season and the Packers cornerback group. They were as set as you could possibly be at cornerback. And look at what happened. By week three, they were having serious issues with depth. Adding more quality players is just never going to be a problem. You will find a way to use the good guys that you have on the roster, and things can change really, really quickly. If you want to focus particularly on the defensive line group, consider what I said last week on Blue 58. Here's a quote from that piece. Defensive line, always a sneaky position of need. It's one of those positions where you need a lot of bodies, like wide receiver, cornerback, offensive line, or outside linebacker. Those guys get chewed up a lot. They're playing a lot of downs in a high-demand position in terms of what you're doing physically. Guys can get beat up a lot. It doesn't take much to tear down your depth on the defensive line. It really doesn't take a lot to tear down your depth at any position, so you should never be afraid to add more talent. And I think with the Packers' structures they have in place for managing their cap and managing their roster, they shouldn't be afraid to take on or shell out some additional resources to add depth to a place that's already a position of strength, a position that's already a position of strength, like defensive line. It may come at a small cost to other positions, but I don't think you're cutting off your ability to acquire talent elsewhere completely just by signing a guy at one position. Now, if you want to make him the top paid defensive player in the NFL again, or one of the top paid defensive players in the NFL again, then I think you're going to have a problem getting depth elsewhere. But, you know, I don't think the Packers are going to break the bank for Muhammad Wilkerson. But we'll see what happens. Switching gears completely, let's talk a little bit of NFL draft before we dive into our main topic this week. Got a question from Callum Williams, a listener on Twitter. He doesn't listen on Twitter, at least if he does. I haven't figured out how he does it. But Callum asks, you know, based on some of the discussions that we've had, some of the stuff that we've talked about on the line or online in this podcast and elsewhere, if it came down to it, what would you have the Packers do in the draft? Would you take an edge rusher in the first round, or do you think corner is the first priority? Jokingly, I say yes. If you have the opportunity to draft one of those two positions, you should do it. Pressed on that, I think I would take an edge rusher over a cornerback, and here's why. First of all, I think it's easier to find an edge rusher to just do that job. If you're looking for a player to come in and make an impact early on, I think it's easier to find a guy, draft him in the first round or wherever, really, and say, hey, we just need you to rush the passer. Go get the passer. We're not going to put you in a lot of positions where you're going to have to set the edge against the run, drop into coverage. Just go and get the quarterback on passing downs. I think that's the easiest way to have your players be successful faster. Give them a limited role, and I think that's a lot easier to do for an edge rusher than for a cornerback. Second, I think they develop quicker. This kind of goes hand in hand with the first point here. You don't have to spend a lot of time learning how to be an edge rusher. I mean, you learn your moves, you develop your move repertoire and things like that, but those are things that you can teach guys in an afternoon. You can teach guys basic pass rush technique in a practice or two. It's not a real big deal. It takes a long time to master it, but they can get those moves under their belt pretty quickly. Cornerback, there's a lot more technique that goes into it. You've got your back pedal, flipping your hips, playing a variety of different coverages, man coverage, zone coverage. How do you play the ball in the air? How do you play the receiver? Things like that. And then you got to come up and cover against the run or press the offense against the run, things like that. It gets to be a lot really, really quickly. And I think that's why you see cornerbacks sometimes take a little bit longer to develop. You can put them in those more limited roles, but I think it's tougher to do with a cornerback than with an edge rusher. Finally, corners, unlike a lot of edge rushers, are still dependent on other positions on the roster, at least more so than edge rushers. I think if you really come down to it, if it really comes down to one guy just doing his job, I think an edge rusher has a much better chance of making plays and making an impact on the game by himself than a cornerback does. A cornerback can have perfect coverage, but if the safety who's supposed to be helping him over the top screws up, it can almost become inconsequential. An edge rusher can blow up his guy by himself, get to the quarterback, take him down, get to the running back, take him down behind the line, and an entire play is ruined just by one guy having a phenomenal individual effort. If you're just looking for impact from a rookie, I think the edge rusher position is the way to go. Now, it's going to depend a lot on how the draft falls, and I think the Packers are in a really good position to have either an elite cornerback or an elite edge rusher fall into their lap. If it's down to a choice between one of those two positions and you've got a really elite prospect available for both, I think that you take the edge rusher. That's just my preference. I think you could make a case for going a different direction, and I wouldn't fight with you a whole lot, but I think my preference would be to take the edge rusher, and I think those reasons are the main reasons why. Before we dive into our talk about Brian Gutekunst, I wanted to make you aware, and I know we talk about this at the end of the show every week, of our great selection of t-shirts available via teespring.com. We've got a bunch of different designs available right now, and we're working on some more behind the scenes. I'm wearing one right now. It's a very high quality shirt. Same goes for our long sleeve t-shirts, our hoodies, everything like that. Great stuff available at teespring.com, and I wouldn't hesitate on the opportunity to get in on those. What's more, you should know that if you are a Patreon supporter, you get a lifetime 25% discount on all of your Teespring Teespring.com purchases via the Power Sweep. So check both of those opportunities out, especially the Teespring one. It's a great way to support the Power Sweep and to look good doing it. Check it out via the store link at thepowersweep.com. A great selection of shirts of all kinds, and I would dive right into that if I were you. You can look pretty great. And we're coming up on a season where you can wear a lot more t-shirts, so wins across the board, I think. Let's talk about Brian Gutekunst a little bit. It's important, I think, when you're looking at anyone's actions in the NFL, really elsewhere too, that things are more about what people do than what they say. So far, Brian Gutekunst has said a lot, and he hasn't done a lot. That's in large part because he hasn't had an opportunity to do a whole lot. But we're getting to a point where things have been pretty rosy for Gutekunst so far just because of what he said. He said a lot of great things. We're going to be more active in free agency, or we're going to get in on every conversation and things like that. That's all great until you have to start actually doing it. Based on the early returns, it looks like what he said has been accurate. The Packers do look like they want to be more active in free agency. They're already having one free agent visit from a pretty high profile name. But until we get some more actions, we can't really develop a whole picture of Brian Gutekunst, the general manager. So let's take a second, a few minutes really, since you all know how podcasts work, we're going to be here a little bit. Let's take a few minutes and just look back at what Gutekunst has said so far and see what we can learn about that. I've gone through the two major public appearances he's made, speaking as the general manager of the Packers, his introductory press conference, and his press conference at the NFL Combine. I've pulled together a variety of quotes, and we've broken them down into a few different categories. We'll talk through his philosophy, his view on the Packers' current roster and their salary cap situation, his views on free agency, and how he views the NFL draft. From there, I think we can pull out a little bit more of what we're going to see from Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, as we head into a portion of the NFL calendar where we can start to draw some actual concrete conclusions on what Brian Gutekunst is all about, because I think that's interesting. On top of that, we've also devoted entire shows to Mark Murphy and to Mike McCarthy. We can't really talk about Russ Ball because he never speaks in front of the public, and his role is a lot harder to evaluate from the outside looking in. But we can talk about Brian Gutekunst, the only one remaining of the Packers' big power structure that we haven't talked about in depth. So let's dive into what we know about Brian Gutekunst based on his own words. First and foremost, he talked early on in his very first press conference about how he plans to be different from Ted Thompson.
There was a foundation of draft, develop, and retain our core players that won't change a whole lot. I mean, that's going to be the foundation of the way that we build a roster.
He's not going to be a whole lot different from Ted Thompson is the real answer. He's going to look to do draft and develop, and I think any sensible general manager wants to build their team around the NFL draft because that's the lowest cost way to get players. Essentially, the Packers are acquiring these players for free. They will have to pay them, but they don't have to expend any additional resources beyond the cost of a draft pick to get them. They're not spending any more on these players than anybody else would have to. That's still a market inefficiency in a way. Even though everyone is involved in the draft, this is a way that you can get players for a very, very low cost. On top of that, Gutekunst says he's going to continue to be very involved in the scouting operation. He wants to be on the road looking at these players.
Whenever I get a chance to get out on the road and scout, I think that's essential to building a team. And I believe that the guy that sits in the chair that I'm about to sit in must know the players. Like, you have to know the players, and you have to know them yourself. And so that's important to me. And that's what I'm good at. That's what I've been trained for.
This speaks a little bit to Gutekunst's background. Quick recap, as you remember, he was hired out of a scouting kind of internship, a scouting workout, really worked his way up as a college scout and has been in large part just a college scout for the duration of his NFL career so far. A pretty highly regarded one, given the attention he's gotten around the league over the past couple of years as he's interviewed for GM openings and things like that. Now, what sort of players is he for? In a word, versatile players. Here he is talking about Ty Montgomery in particular, but he uses it to make a larger point about the sort of players that he wants to acquire.
We're big on trying to acquire as many versatile players, whether it be on offense or defense, as we can, and Ty's one of those guys. So I think he can do a multitude of things. I don't think you have to pigeonhole him in one thing.
This is really encouraging to me because I think it really hits on one of the hallmarks of the Ted Thompson era. Early on, in the very early days of the power sweep, I wrote a piece called The Packers and Positionless Football. We are in a phase of football where it's really trendy to have guys that can do a variety of different things. Are they a safety? Are they a linebacker? Are they an edge rusher? Are they an interior lineman? Are they a running back? Are they a wide receiver? Which position do they play on the offensive line? The Packers, though they haven't gotten a lot of press for it on a national level, have very much been leaders in this area. They built their entire offensive line based on the strategy of acquiring guys who played left tackle in college and teaching them to play a bunch of positions on the offensive line. It's worked really, really well. And I think that's something that they should continue to do. And Gutekunst is indicating that he wants to continue to do that because I think it has served the Packers very well. Now, moving along to his views on the Packers' current roster, I don't think I have a soundbite where he uses these exact words, but something that came up a surprising amount of times in both of his news conferences was the phrase, there's a lot of work to be done. Gutekunst is convinced that there is a large volume of work that needs to be done to overhaul the Packers' roster. And I think, you know, most observers of the Packers would agree with that. They have some good players there, but they need some work. They need some work at a lot of positions. They need an infusion of talent at a lot of positions. What does Gutekunst want to accomplish with this current roster? I guess an aspect of danger is how he would put it.
You know, we need to have competition across the board at every group, so nobody feels safe. You know, I think that's important. I think competition allows talents to rise and allows the cream to kind of rise to the top, so to speak. And so that, to me, is where we need to go. We need to take every opportunity to improve the roster from the top to the bottom so that there's competition all the time.
In that quote, he went on to say that even at the end of the season, when you're banged up, when you have question marks at a couple positions, you can't be afraid to make changes. You can't be afraid to bring in new guys and spice things up a little bit. Even if there might be a guy who's underperforming only because he's a little bit hurt. I think that's really encouraging because if there's anything I think you can criticize Ted Thompson for, it's his lack of willingness to make changes to the roster in season. If Ted Thompson was an investor, he would be a buy and hold investor. And that is a strong investing strategy, but there are drawbacks to that as well. He was very content with the roster he put together in August and early September, and he tended to sit on that roster and just kind of hope for the best. Gutekunst doesn't seem like he wants to do that, and I think that is a good thing for the Packers. As to the guys that are currently on the roster who may be in jeopardy of having things not go their way in terms of continuing to make the amount of money that they're making, talking about guys like Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, and Clay Matthews, famously he says he doesn't want to let those guys just walk out the door, but look at the entire quote in context and see if you can find anything interesting here.
Yeah, you know, it's a big puzzle, and I think the information comes in, as we get closer to the free agent time period and we get through the combine and kind of get a better feel for the draft, some of those things will come into play. But, you know, I'll say this, we have some really good players and we don't want to let them walk out of the door. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard enough in this league to find them, so we certainly wouldn't want to let them walk out the door. But it is, there are restraints and there's things that kind of every decision kind of affects something else.
So, a couple of things there. The part of that bite that got the press was the we don't want to see our good free agents go out the door, and I think that's fine. But reading between the lines, reading the entire context of the quote, to me it sounds like he's willing to make decisions about restructuring those guys or just cutting them outright as the needs arise. Something I pointed out early on with the Nelson Cobb Matthews situation is that the Packers can go into this next season paying all of those guys their full contract amounts and not have a huge range of problems. Sure, they won't have a ton of cap space, but it wouldn't destroy your salary cap situation to just let these guys play out their current contracts. Not ideal, but it wouldn't ruin your day. This is very different from the situation teams like, I feel like the Detroit Lions are in this situation almost every other year, where they've got to cut guys or they're going to be over the cap. Badly managed teams end up in that situation. And the Packers have not been a badly managed team. But to suggest that those guys are just safe because Gutekunst doesn't want to see him leave, I don't think that's what he's saying in this quote. He's saying that when the time comes to maybe free up some more cap space, then we'll have a conversation about maybe needing to cut one of these three guys or restructure their deal to create a little bit more cap space. He's just not going to make any blanket decisions right now. One last thing we should talk about in terms of the Packers' current roster is Gutekunst's view on Aaron Rodgers and his contract. He doesn't sound too worried.
I don't know if there's pressure. I think we certainly would like to get it done sooner rather than later. Not necessarily for those reasons, but when you have the best player in the National Football League, it's not going to be inexpensive. You know what I mean? So
it's going to be expensive to sign Aaron Rodgers. It's a priority for the Packers. It's going to get done. That's what I take away from that, and I think that's what most people would think about the Packers' situation with Aaron Rodgers. Free agency. This is the big one. By far, this is the thing that Gutekunst has been asked about the most often, even at the NFL Combine when he's presumably there to talk about the NFL draft and look at NFL draft prospects. Most people wanted to talk about free agency because the Packers have been so reluctant to sign free agents. So everyone wants Brian Gutekunst's view on free agents, and he has some thoughts.
Our foundation is going to be, you know, the draft, but I think it's an absolute must as an accessory piece, you know.
Free agency, in Gutekunst's words, is an absolute must. What exactly does that mean? He was pretty explicit about that, too. He wants the Packers literally to be in discussions on every potential free agent that's hitting the market.
We're not going to leave any stone unturned as far as every avenue of player acquisition. Doesn't mean we're always going to get to the finish and actually sign the guy, but we're going to go throughout the entire process and kind of be in on every possible acquisition.
This is something that we've seen already with the Packers. They have been in on it with Muhammad Wilkerson from the absolute get-go, and I suspect this is something we're going to see play out with at least a couple other free agents as this free agency season wears on. I don't think Gutekunst is just going to sit on his roster, and I don't think, based on the history of people from the Ron Wolf general managing tree, that you are going to tend to see a lot of guys from that organization be slow on the draw in their first free agency period. So Gutekunst wants to be in on every conversation. He kind of repeated those thoughts at the Combine when he talked about this, expanding a little bit more on what it means to be in on every conversation.
We're not going to be able to sign every player. We're not going to be able to make that the foundation of our team. But we want to be in everything. We want to be in the know of everything that's going on. And if it makes sense for us, not to be afraid. We have to be prepared enough to pull the trigger.
Be ready to go on every free agent. I think that's a great philosophy, and I think one that we're seeing play out already. So, obviously, that's another one of those situations where you don't... It sounds nice on paper, but until you see it play out, it's hard to really judge it on its merits. We're starting to see it play out just a little bit. It'll be interesting to see it play out a little bit more. Finally, the draft. What he has described as the lifeblood of this franchise and of the Packers going forward. What does he think of this draft class?
It's a strong secondary group. You know, I think the interior offensive line group is pretty strong. I think there's depth at quarterback. So
interesting that he noted three position groups there: cornerback, interior offensive line, and quarterback. The Packers have needs at each of those positions, and it's interesting that those three would be the first three that jump out at Brian Gutekunst. Now, I think reading around the league as a whole, most people tend to think that's some of the strengths of this draft class, but it still is interesting to hear Gutekunst bring that up. As to the combine itself, this is one of Gutekunst's most revealing answers, I think. He doesn't think the combine is the be-all, end-all for the Packers or for any other team.
The tape doesn't change. You know, that stays the same. But this part of it is important. The way we've always looked at it is, like, if it's something different than we saw on tape, then we need to go back to the tape. You know what I mean? If it matches up with what we saw on tape, then we must have seen it the right way.
If you're trying to be a better, smarter fan of whatever NFL team you root for, the Packers or somebody else, I think it's always important to try to look at every aspect of the NFL as though you're looking at it from the perspective of someone who's involved in the NFL. And the combine, the way to look at it, is from the front office perspective. The Packers, and I think most NFL teams, do not view the combine as what's going to make or break their opinion on a player. They're looking to to the combine to confirm what they have already suspected about the player or come to believe about the player based on the tape that they've studied. They're not looking to go to the combine to learn about guys that they haven't heard of. These are all guys that people have heard of already if you're doing the scouting and doing the stuff that the Packers front office is doing. They're looking to this for confirmation, and that's exactly what Gutekunst said. Now, that said, there are other aspects of the combine that are important. Gutekunst was very keen on mentioning that the evaluation of players doesn't stop once they step off the field at Lucas Oil Stadium.
It's an important, you know, to see kind of their, you know, how they present themselves, their professionalism. We try to tell them all the time that, you know, even when they're just warming up or they're walking through the hallways, you know, we got eyes on them and we want to see how they act and how they treat people. So it's important.
Very important. And if you're looking at this as a job interview, guys are under evaluation from the second that they walk into the room with their resumes under their arm. And, you know, this is the old firm handshake test. You know, do they give a firm handshake and say yes or no, sir, looking in the eye, stuff like that. Maybe it's a little bit overblown, maybe it's not. But the Packers are evaluating guys and what they're doing outside of the field, and I think that's a little bit interesting. So, all that to say, this is sort of a 40,000-foot view of Brian Gutekunst, the things that he's touched on in his time as the general manager so far. We are entering a time where we're really going to be able to see what these words actually mean. If Gutekunst is a guy who actually sticks with what he says, or if he's just saying things because they sound great, we'll be able to find out really soon. And I think it's important to keep some of these quotes in mind as we head into that part of the NFL calendar. While I've got you here, just so you're not pining for it next week, I have made the executive editorial decision to not have an episode of Blue 58 next week. As you pick up your jaw off the floor, I'll tell you a little bit why. I've mentioned it over the past couple of weeks. My wife and I are in the process of relocating from Indiana to the Michigan area, and next week that rubber really hits the road. Moving day is March 13th. We are loading stuff up onto the truck and heading out of Dodge. And so during the time when I would normally be recording this podcast, I will probably trying to figure out where half my belongings are, because we will have reached our destination. So if you're the praying sort, definitely be praying for me next week, because it's going to be a couple days that are going to be a little bit interesting, as moving always is. Also worth noting, the reason that we don't just turn things over to Gary next week and have him do an episode of the show as he's done in the past. Big news, Gary's getting married this coming Saturday, March, what is that, the 10th? I believe it's the 10th. I was invited to the wedding. I couldn't go because I was, you know, rearranging my entire life, unfortunately. That's how things work. But Gary's getting married this Saturday. I'm moving early next week. He's going to be gone on his honeymoon. Wouldn't you know it, this all falls during NFL free agency or the start of NFL free agency. We will get you some of the good stuff. We will get you the good content that you look for from the Power Sweep and from Blue 58 at some point. This is not the end of the show, but just in the interest of keeping everybody sane next week and preserving Gary's life so that he's not trying to do NFL free agency reporting while he's on his honeymoon, and I think we would all prefer that he just focus on other things while he's on his honeymoon, especially in the interest of preserving his young marriage, we will just take a little bit of time off, catch up with things towards the end of the week, and try to get you back up to speed with our podcast week after next. So I'm sorry. I wish things were a little bit different. But on the other hand, this is always going to be secondary to real life. And I appreciate everybody who has reached out with their support as we make this move and things like that. And obviously, congratulations to Gary as well. Big stuff for him. That's all I've got for you this week. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, as always, for all your support online and elsewhere. You can find us, as you always do, at thepowersweep.com. Check us out as well on Facebook and Twitter by searching at The Power Sweep on both of those fine websites. If you would choose to or prefer to get to us via email, you may reach us at thepowersweep1959@gmail.com. If support is something that you are interested in doing beyond just giving us your gracious listens and subscriptions on the podcast app of your choice, you may do so first and foremost by giving us a review on iTunes if you would like. No pressure there, but we do always benefit from each and every one of those reviews, and we appreciate your reviews. If financial support is more your thing, give us a look at patreon.com/thepowersweep or on Teespring by clicking the store link at thepowersweep.com. whatever format you choose. We always do love to hear from you. Any feedback you give us helps all of us become better at Blue 58 and the Power Sweep, and really helps us all become smarter Packers fans. And as I always say, smarter Packers fans are better Packers fans, and better Packers fans are what we all want to be. I am your host, John Meerdink. We will see you not next week, but the week after, right back here on Blue 58.